Please join with me and bow your heads for the prayer of illumination. God Almighty, Lord of glory, by your grace, move us to hear, clear as a bell, your word to us as scripture is read and proclaimed this morning. Amen. I'll be reading from, the first reading today is from Psalms chapter 89. Verses 19 to 28, and it should be in 546 in the Pew Bibles. Please listen with me while I share the word of God. Then you spoke in a vision to your faithful one and said, I have set the crown on one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. My hand shall always remain with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and steadfast love shall be with him, and my name, his horn, shall be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Forever I will keep my steadfast love for him, and my covenant with him will stand firm. This is the word of God.
Can't seem to get enough praying in the last couple of days, so please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Well, last Sunday in our preaching series that we've been at for several weeks now, the series called Biblical Dreams, Cody encouraged us to follow the example of Solomon and put ourselves in a position to hear God's purpose for our lives. Today, we look at a dream concerning Solomon's father, David, King David, chosen by God to lead his people. How many of you have heard that term, the House of David? Oh, you're so good. It appears, obviously, as many of you know, in many places in the Bible, and in a couple of weeks, when Advent begins, we'll hear it more often because it is central to Advent and Christmas. We know exactly where we are and whose we are when we hear, In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. The term House of David has its origins, its beginning in today's dream. Hear this word from 2 Samuel. Now when the king, that would be David, was settled in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, See, now I'm living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent. Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that you have in mind. for the Lord is with you. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord. Are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people, Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went. And I have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make of you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. But I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. This is the word of the Lord. So that's a long passage. And in it, did you get that David had a dream, a strong desire to build God a house? But God has a bigger dream in mind. Perhaps you have noticed, as I have, that it seems like every leader throughout history is concerned with the legacy that he or she will leave. And it may be that David was hoping that this house that he was dreaming up of building for God would be his legacy monument. After all, it was customary in that day and age for rulers to build something spectacular to their god or gods. And surely David has some accomplishments. He has conquered Jerusalem. He has made it its capital. He has brought the Ark of God into the city. And for the moment, there is peace among all the people. What would people think, David might be saying, if the new king is living in a big palatial house, which was the case, and the king's god was living in a little tent? So when King David tells his advisor, the prophet Nathan, that he wants to build God a house, Nathan tells him to go ahead and do it. But God, we hear in Scripture, looks down on this scene and thinks, you have no idea. You have no idea. You have no idea about the house building of my dreams. And so God appears to Nathan in a dream, telling him what he is to tell to David about his building and God's building. In the telling, we learn some important things about God. He has a lot to say to his servant, even though David now holds a high and powerful position. He reminds David that he is God and David isn't. God says that he doesn't need a house to be God, and that he's been doing just fine for all these years without one. God likes the freedom of moving and living among the people. It is as if God says to David, don't box me in, David. When I want a house, I'll ask for it. God tells Nathan to remind David of the relationship the two have had over time. I took you from the pasture, Scripture says. This is God speaking. From following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Then God ups the ante. Verse 9, I will make for you a great name. David is not going to make a name for himself, something that building a temple would have helped with, perhaps. God is going to make a name for David. The word of the Lord continues speaking through Nathan, moving from a recitation of God's deeds in the past two promises of what God will do in the future. And here the scripture turns. God will build David a house. God builds the house of David, not as a physical structure for one time and one place, but as an everlasting legacy for all places and all time. Verse 11, moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. The house that God is building begins with David, but it doesn't stop when David dies. It goes on to all his descendants, even to you and me today. God speaks initially about David's son Solomon, who eventually builds a temple in Jerusalem. But as followers of Jesus, we also see that the text reference here points directly to Jesus. God says in verse 14, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Your house, the house of David, which Joseph belonged to, your house and kingdom shall be made forever before me, and your throne shall be established forever. So the scripture that starts with David dreaming of building God a house, a literal house, ends with God showing us what building a house really looks like. God takes it to the next level. God ups the ante and trumps David's dream with something even grander. Whatever we can dream, God can always do us better. We might say, we dream of building the attendance and mission of First Pres Church. God says, you have no idea. We say, we dream of finding a cure for cancer. God says, you have no idea. We say, we dream of all children being safe, well-fed, and loved. God says, you have no idea. We don't want to hold on to our own dreams and plans so tightly that there is no room for God to do what only God can do. I see, as I look out at your faces, that you are catching the good news here, the good news that God often has bigger and better dreams for us than we can possibly fathom. David dreamed up the idea to build God a house. Not a bad idea, but God dreams up something far bigger than just a literal house. And it's for all God's people, not just David, not even just for Israel. God's dreams are always bigger than ours. We can make plans, have dreams, but we need to hold them lightly in our hands. Because if God's dream, plan, different and better, it's best if God doesn't have to pry open our hands to get us his plan for us. And here's another vital point of God's promise. Verse 15, I will not take my steadfast love from you. God's covenant with Moses had an if you do this, then I will do that clause. If the people loved God and kept his commandments, then God would maintain the covenant and be their God. In God's promise to David, there is no if, then clause. With this new covenant, it's not that turning from God and breaking God's commandments will be overlooked. There will be consequences. But, and this is so important, God will never abandon us. Is there any other promise we need? Emmanuel, God with us, no matter what decisions we make, that unwavering truth is central to Advent and Christmas. And we experience life more abundantly when we realize we are with God as God is with us. We are all heirs to God's promise to David. We are all heirs to God's unconditional love and abiding presence. We are all heirs to God taking our dreams and upping the ante. God did it then, and he's doing it now. May we continue to live God's promise to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.